Today on Messianic Perspectives, our subject is Messianic Prophecy. Stay with us. This is Messianic Perspectives, the daily Bible teaching program sponsored by CJF Ministries in San Antonio, Texas. You can visit us online at cjfm.org. I'm Liz Aiello. Today, Pastor Al Runge is leading our discussion of 10 Amazing Messianic Prophecies. If you have your Bible handy, we invite you to join us and turn to Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. I'll be back a little later with information about a special offer, so have your pencil and paper ready. And now, with today's study, here is Pastor Runge.
I want to begin a series of messages with you on the 10 amazing prophecies of Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. Let me read the scripture to you. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. You see, God revealed through the Jewish prophet Isaiah a portrait of the coming Messiah so that the world, as well as Israel, would recognize him when he came into the world. Isaiah revealed the identity, the character, and the purpose of the Messiah. Today we want to focus on one phrase, "Unto us a son is given." That is, this Messiah is to be the very Son of God. Some time ago, when I was a seminary student, I attended a seminar on medieval Jewish history and philosophy. And one day, the professor said, "The idea that the Messiah is to be God's son is strictly from the pagan Gentiles. It was not a Jewish concept." And I asked him if I could have permission to read from Psalm 2, a messianic psalm. Graciously, he agreed to that. And so I asked the five rabbinic students if they'd open up their Hebrew Bibles, and I pointed out that Psalm 2 is a messianic prophecy. Listen to this. "The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed," or his Mashiach, his Messiah, "saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." In other words, this was a prediction that the day would come when the governments of the world would attempt to eliminate the authority of God and his Christ, his Messiah. The word Christ is from the Greek. Its word is Christos, which means the anointed one, a translation of the word Messiah. And we see that in our own country, how that there is an attempt to eliminate the influence of God and his word from our society. The professor and the rabbinic students in the class agreed that this was a messianic prophecy. And I asked them to read verse 4. "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh." In other words, God laughs in derision on the efforts of these people trying to destroy his dominion on the earth. And God says in verse 6, "Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion." Now, I said, look at verse 7, the very next verse. Look at this. "I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee." In the Old Testament, the Bible that is claimed by Judaism, that the King Messiah was revealed as the begotten Son of God. This is not from pagan mythology, but from the very scriptures of Israel. I asked my rabbi friends in the class if they look at verse 8. "Ask of me, and I shall give thee the nations for thine inheritance, and the othermost parts of the earth for thy possession. I reminded them that God never promised the dominion of the whole world to belong to King David, but it was to his greatest son, the Son of God who would come, the Messiah. And then I asked one of the rabbis if he would translate verse 12, where it says, "Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him." And he translated it this way, "Worship the Son." I said, "Let me ask you a question. Can anyone be worshiped except God?" There was total silence. The class bell rang, everyone got up and walked out of the class, and I was never able to bring them back to that question of who is the Messiah. To point out that this is not something that came from the Gentiles, but that the very scripture, our own Bible from Israel, tells us that he would be the very Son of God. When I became a believer, my uncle asked me, "How could you, a Jew, believe in Jesus when the Christians in Russia mistreated us so terribly in the name of Jesus?" Well, I said, the reason is not everyone who calls himself a Christian is a Christian. That's a fact. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 22 and 23, "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" You see, hurting people is evil. Persecuting people is evil. And it misrepresents Jesus, who advocated that we are to even love our enemies. We are to pray for those who treat us in a very spiteful way. And we're to bless those who curse us. You see, Jesus is the Jewish Messiah. And I said to my uncle, "It's because I discovered that he was the Jewish Messiah, I had no other choice but to accept him if I was to validate my own Jewishness." And he said, "What about the nation of Israel? There are just a few who believe in Jesus." I said, "Well, isn't it true that in the day of Moses, there was only three men that believed God? There was Moses, of course, and there was Joshua and Caleb, and the rest of the children of Israel did not believe. So if the whole nation says, 'No, he's not the Messiah,' I would still believe in him because the scriptures are true and the New Testament and Old Testament verify each other. So he is the king, the one who is to come, the one who already came the first time, but the one who's going to return. And I want to point out to you that there was a reason that the Son of God came. The apostle told us, "For God so loved the world." He didn't just love a few selected people, a few favorites, but he loved the whole world. And because he loved the whole world, he gave his only begotten Son. And here we have it again. "Unto us a son is given. And God said, 'I will make him my begotten son.'" Now, out of love, God created humanity to become his children. He didn't create us to be robots, to simply go by instinct. He made us in the very image of God. Listen to what the scriptures tell us in Genesis. "In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God created he him. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam," or Adam. You see, the interesting thing here is that both male and female are created in the image of God. Why? So that we could have fellowship together. You see, God wanted to have children. He wanted sons and daughters. Now, there's a lot of debate as to what was the nature of original sin. I believe it's very clear. It was unbelief. Remember, God told Adam, "You can eat all the fruits of the garden except one. It's the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if you eat that fruit, the day you do, you shall surely die." Now, along came this serpent that we know of as Satan, who said to Eve, "This is not true. You shall not surely die. But you see, God knows that the day you eat that fruit, you're going to become wise like God. And God wants to keep you down. God doesn't want to give you that privilege of becoming like him. What a liar. But they had a choice. They had to decide who they would believe. And they chose to believe the serpent and not to believe God. Well, what happened? The relationship between God and man was broken. Man fell. Man became a rebel and a sinner. And so the issue is, will you believe? That's what God calls us back to. You see, the Word of God says, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So it is a matter of faith. Will you believe? Will you believe what God says? Now, if you are a Jewish person listening to me, let me tell you this and assure you as much as I can that what we are teaching is not something contrary to what true Judaism is. It is biblical Judaism. Jesus is God's Son. He came into the world because he sought to bring you and me back to God. I'm so glad that I can testify that my faith is not just based on some creed, but it's based on experience, that I found that what the Word of God was declaring is true. I accepted Jesus as my Savior. The Heavenly Father came into my life. And I can tell you that I have the assurance of fellowshipping with God every day. And that's why God created you. He wants you to be his child, and he wants fellowship with you. Will you choose to believe today?
Thank you, Pastor Runji. And thank you, listening friend, for tuning in today. We hope you enjoyed today's teaching by our associate Bible teacher, Al Runji. If you'd like your own copy, or perhaps a copy for a friend, you'll be glad to know that the entire series is available on CD. The title is simply 10 Amazing Messianic Prophecies. And you can have this set of CDs for a gift of $12 or more to Messianic Perspectives. Just visit our secure online store at messianicspecialties.com to place your order. If you would prefer to order by mail, just address your request to Messianic Perspectives, P.O. Box 345, San Antonio, Texas, 78292. To order by phone, use our toll-free order line from the U.S. The number is 1-800-926-5397. Let me remind you that when you order the materials we offer here on the program, you're not only enabling us to remain here on your station, but you're also helping us take the good news of Yeshua HaMashiach to Jewish people and Gentiles all over the world. Even if you're one of our regular listeners, you still may not know that we're much more than just a radio program. Messianic Perspectives is sponsored by CJF Ministries, one of the largest missionary organizations in the world. We currently have missionary families serving the Lord all over the world, including the United States, Canada, South America, England, France, and of course, Israel. So when you write, consider helping us with a gift above the suggested amount. We'd be very grateful. Have you enjoyed this edition of Messianic Perspectives? Why not continue to learn about the Jewish roots of your Christian faith by inviting a speaker from CJF Ministries? Call our toll-free number, 1-800-926-5397, and we'll be happy to handle all of the details. And as always, when you're in touch with us, please mention the call letters of this station. If you're listening to our webcast or podcast, we need to know that too. I'm Liz Aiello. Join us next time, won't you, as Pastor Al Runji continues our series on 10 Amazing Messianic Prophecies, right here on Messianic Perspectives. Messianic Perspectives is sponsored by CJF Ministries of San Antonio, Texas, and is made possible on this station by the free will contributions of our listeners in this area.